It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday.
It's Thursday.
This week has been slow and fast at the same time, which is kind of me.
Interesting.
Slow and fast.
I'm moving very slow.
Yeah, no. You've got an excuse.
I'm slow.
Well, I can tell you right now, there's a game that's probably going to go pretty fast, and that is Duke, Arizona.
Dude, I am so looking forward to this game.
It should be a very good game. You have a couple different things going on. Obviously, you've got Duke and the absolute behemoth that they are. Cooper Flagg, Colin Knipple, Tyrese Proctor has been great for them. Kaman Mawoc, who is the 7'3" monster in the middle, who inspires more hell no's than anybody else in basketball. For those that are unaware of what a hell no is, it is when you drive and you see this 7'3" monster and you go, hell no, I'm not shooting this.
And rightfully so. There's good reason for you to want to be absolutely terrified of your shot going into row 8.
Just a very large man.
But this is what is going to be fun about this game, is that when you go and you look at Arizona is a team that we've all said they can, this is a team that can be special this year, right?
They're very good.
And they're putting it together at the absolute perfect time to be a wrecker for the team that is the odds on bona fide favorite in a lot of people's minds to win the title in Duke, because of the fact that they have been battle tested throughout their entire season. Like the Big 12, they got 8 teams in this year. That conference is a bona fide basketball conference.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we knew they were doing when they shifted the way that they did.
That's like how they made it.
Yeah, Arizona coming over was a big part of that.
It is well coached. Mm-hmm. There's an insane amount of NBA talent. It just feels like everybody talked SEC all the time, and then they tried to throw the Big 10 in there, but it was the Big 12 just as damn impressive what they've put together in this tournament and over the course of the year. And it was in part because they cannibalized each other and they didn't have the scheduling kind of know-how that the SEC did to prop every single team up.
And pushing forward a little bit, Arizona has six of the top 20 recruits in the country coming in next year, including three of the top nine. They just signed Koa Pete this morning.
They're number four or three,
depending on which service you
use. And the number one uncommitted prospect in the country.
So
pretty dang good.
Pretty good spot to be in if you're Arizona. But the Arizona, what they have right now is Caleb Love. Caleb Love, the former North Carolina
killer
point guard. Remember, when in the Final Four, North Carolina beat Duke, who led the charge? Armon Bacot and Caleb Love.
Caleb Love and sent Coach K packing. It's Coach K's last game.
Last game, losing to North Carolina in the NCAA tournament. You hate to see it.
And didn't he lose at home to North Carolina as well?
His right final that? ACC game, and then he had to address the student section after.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Remember, Coach K was livid.
Yes, he was. They weren't Duke. That's not Duke.
No, not Duke. Yeah. But what's really funny is, like, when you go look at, like, the preview for the game, I've done this a couple times this season. Every time you click on it, like, with the matchups with Duke and whoever they're playing, they have the points leader, rebounds leader, assists leader, blocks leader, steals leader. Across every team, there's a couple different players. For Duke, it's Cooper Flagg.
All the way across.
Leads him in points, rebounds, steals, assists, blocks.
And that's kind of
freshman.
That's where when you look at a team, though, that if you want to see what is upset worthy team, it's a team that does have that balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for Arizona, they're scoring balance across the board. You don't see the same names. I mean, Bradley is really damn good, but it is the epitome of kind of that balanced Tommy Lloyd basketball. But when you have the scoring punch of Caleb Love and a guy who's been there and done that before, that is also invaluable when it gets this pressure pack like this. And you talked about how many freshmen are leading the way for Duke right now. Caleb Love has all the experience in the world heading into this game.
Fifth-year senior?
Is he really?
He's at least a fourth. He's not a fifth.
But that, in being in these big moments, being in these big games, and not flinching ever, dude, I just said go Duke at the end, but there's a little bit of me that's going, God, this Arizona team may be the one that every Arizona fan that thinks this is our year every single year, it actually could be Arizona's year, and this was the year that they weren't saying this. This wasn't, you know, Sean Miller leading a team led by DeAndre Ayton as a two seed that gets bounced in the first round.
Oops.
Right? And how much heartbreak they've seen in that. Duke is the better team, far and away.
But
they are more talented.
Arizona has the ability to knock them off because they're a very volatile team.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're rolling, and we saw what Caleb Love did to Oregon, when he gets hot, dear God Almighty, does he get hot.
And they've won an ugly game in the tournament. That Oregon game, that was not beautiful basketball.
No, I mean, Oregon jumped out to an 18-4 lead.
They mucked it up, and they ended up grinding their way to a win. Now,
On the back of their defense.
Both teams were shaky at best, offensively.
Carter Bryant came off the bench. Wasn't huge in the box score. I mean, okay, but his defensive ability, that's what got it done for them.
Yep.
You know, is that they have some guys on. If Arizona had Krivas, their 7-footer, my eyebrow would raise at this game. I would
because they'd be able to throw two 7-footers.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, that Duke is a big team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just like it's not your dad's Duke team.
Nobody's slapping the floor.
I mean, Cooper Flagg, first team floor slapper.
My dad's Duke team wasn't good. You just made me feel really old because that's my Duke team.
Oh, I know. It wasn't. Look.
Damn.
But Con Knipple, 6'7", 220 pounds. Like, he's a fire hydrant, man. And then you've got 6'9", Cooper Flagg. And then you've got 7'3", Colin Moloch. And you've got, Ngongwa's 6'11". Like, they just throw size at you. And every now and then they go, hey, Isaiah Evans, do you have it tonight? Do you remember the game? Was it against Duke or against North Carolina? He came off the bench and had like 18 points in 4 minutes. It's like, oh, can you shoot threes tonight?
Well,
you're hot? Yeah, here you go, bud. Go for it.
Just going to say that is the problem with this Duke team is that big teams like that, they don't win track meets in the NCAA tournament. This team could win a track meet if you want to get in one with them.
Yeah, that's the thing is that they can go smaller and they can get out and run. Tyrese Proctor, they can, you know, Isaiah Evans is a guy. Like, if you get in a secondary transition and he's hot.
That's going to be a fun game tonight.
I think this one's going to be close, and then you're going to see what Cooper Flagg is. Because other than the Kansas game when he bobbled the ball the first, what, 2 weeks of the season?
Is that Kentucky.
Kentucky, sorry.
Yeah. Game, yeah, where he had like six turnovers.
Yeah, and he had three of them in like the final 2 minutes.
No, I think we should revisit that because Cooper Flagg, I mean, the injury history with that ankle. We can't forget about that game early in the year.
Right.
Right? That should bump him down to around the 8 to 10 range.
Unless somebody, unless a team at the 8 to 10 range like moves up to number one.
Right.
And then maybe you just go, yeah, you know what? You just kind of dismiss it.
Take a flyer.
Yeah.
You know, you could take a flyer on the kid from Maine. It's from Maine.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
No big deal. All right, coming up, speaking of Kentucky, their former head coach, John Calipari, has taken the Arkansas Razorbacks. They are, unbelievably, the Cinderella of both the men's and women's tournament. They are the only double-digit seed remaining across both tournaments.
Really?
It is the year of the favorites.
Woo pig suey.
Can the Razorbacks make it happen? We'll get to that next year on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This is probably the first time in John Calipari's career that he's ever been looked at as a potential Cinderella head coach. It is absolutely bonkers to think about that a Calipari-led team in Arkansas with numerous NBA recruits is going to end up being the underdog against Texas Tech. But that's exactly what you have. You have 10-seeded Arkansas against the number 3-seeded Texas Tech Raiders. The consensus pick is Texas Tech by 6.
I think, like, with Coach Cal, at least since UMass, right?
Yeah.
I mean, since he, like, built UMass from the ground up and then UMass had to vacate.
Had a couple players on it, though, too.
Oh, you think Marcus Camby?
How did he end up at UMass? I wonder.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But Coach Cal has, from UMass, kind of built his reputation as, especially as a college basketball coach, as being the guy who was you bring in hired guns every single year, whether it was at Memphis, then obviously at Kentucky with the one and done rule, just dominating that. But Coach Cal was like, hey, hired guns, you know exactly what you're going to get when you get me. He lost that luster, though, in the final few years at Kentucky. And it's not like they were an embarrassment.
No, they just weren't in the Final Fours and winning titles.
No, and that's what the expectation was at Kentucky. And when you don't do that as a coach, all of a sudden, we see this in all, you see it in college football, you see it in college basketball. When you start losing that foothold. And the incredible story, like Tom Izzo to me is incredible because he started losing that and was like, I am not going to lose my foothold as one of the greatest college basketball coaches of my generation. And what are we seeing now? Like this Michigan State team, it has resurged because he pivoted. He found a new way to do it. Cal saw the writing was on the wall at Kentucky and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going over to Arkansas. I'm going to bring my guys with me, too,
and you
because I still
thing.
Believe in them.
You saw the same thing with his predecessor in Patino.
Yes. I mean, it was the pivot has to be hard. And what I know they didn't make it to the second weekend of the tournament. What Rick Pitino's doing at St. John's is bonkers.
Yeah, it's not like St. John's has been what they were 20 years ago. This is not Chris Mullin's St. John's.
What Pitino took over at St. John's is a far cry from what even Calipari took over at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Because Eric Musselman had some really good years. Yeah. And then last year was a down year. He's like, deuces, going to USC. Mm-hmm. And now Cal is like, all right, I'm going to bring my dudes. And remember his first press conference was like, we'll see how many of them stick around. Like he was like... I'm not going to joke about this. Like, we'll see how many want to be a part of what I want to do here. And to have the results that he's had in year one, we know he's a great recruiter, but it was always, can he get his guys to be cohesive and continue to grow in this era of college hoops? He's doing it. And that is awesome to see because a lot of people want to see the demise of the great coaches.
Oh, yeah.
And but you want to see the failure.
Look who's left. Look who's left.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best coaches in college basketball. It's the best coaches in college basketball.
Minus Dan Hurley.
But even then, they lost by two to Florida.
Right. Dan's the best.
But like, yes. It's the best coaches in college basketball.
And some of them are budding.
Yeah. Some, you get a couple younger guys, but there's nobody here you're like, oh, this is a surprise.
Look, a lot of these guys are kind of, I don't know, they're reclaiming their coaching status too. Mm-hmm. Beard at Ole Miss, right?
Look, Beard has a sordid history, but he's a hell of a coach.
Rick Barnes at Tennessee, right? You
Bruce
have
Pearl.
Coach Cal, Pearl, several. Dude, Pearl got screwed at Tennessee.
He did.
Like, absolutely nothing that he did would be against the rules now. Like, but those guys are Kelvin Sampson at Houston. All of these guys had been drugged through it or said, you can't do it the way you did it before. And they're finding ways to do just that.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, you would talk about great coaches, Dusty May taking Florida Atlantic to the Final Four and then now goes up to Michigan and is getting results as quickly as he has.
By the way, the point guard for that Florida Atlantic team, who's he playing for now? Oh, Florida. Is Clayton the guy at Florida? Yeah, it turns out, maybe Dusty May knew what he was doing down when he was recruiting down there, too. But here's what this Arkansas team is up against. So, not a shocker, a Coach Cal team rooted in defense. Arkansas has the 17th best defense in the country when you're talking about efficiency. Pretty damn good.
Pretty good.
Texas Tech has the number 6 offense and the number 34 defense. Arkansas's offense, number 67. Good.
Yeah.
In the top 75 offense.
Mm-hmm.
But when we had Bar 2 on when you were out, look, we can talk football till we're blue in the face about defense, 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 defense. The mark of the teams, it's offense. You look at it, the offensive efficiency stuff in the country, there's a reason why Duke is where Duke is at. These are your top offensive teams in the country. Duke 1, Auburn 2, Florida 3, Bama 4, BYU 5, Texas Tech 6. And then of your remaining, Purdue 8, Houston 9, Arizona 11, Kentucky 12. Anybody picking up a pattern here?
That they're all really good.
It's offense.
Sweet 16.
It's offense.
And I think that goes back to what you said or when we were talking about college basketball earlier in the show, and that so many teams want to grind you to a halt on both ends of the floor. And if you can push through that over the course of, you know, your 30 games, then all of a sudden you have become tournament ready, right? Like when that happens and you have so many styles of trying to slow you down and grind you to the pulp, that when you have been through everything that can be thrown at you in college basketball, dude, that's where you win in the tournament, is being able to fill it up.
If Arkansas is going to get it done, Adu Thiro, who's their leading scorer, has been out through the tournament so far. He's doubtful for the game. There's a chance that he goes, but they did get one player back already, and he was massive against Kansas. Boogie Flan came back. I said it coming into this draft, or coming into this season. Boogie Flan is the best point of attack defender in all of college basketball. And Kansas found out the hard way in the final 3 minutes of that game. They went at him three separate times, two steals and a forced turnover.
Dude, he is fun to watch.
He is a water bug. Like when I talk about water bug, I'm talking about that bug that sits on top of the water and just goes ding, 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 ding. I've never seen somebody move like him. He's so fast, so explosive, so quick, so impossible to screen. It's his offense. And it's not his shooting. Now, he's been down as a shooter, but his finishing is egregious. I mean, it's bad. But if there's a guy that can kind of get hot from the outside and turn the tides while grinding this thing down a little bit, it's him.
Grant McCaslin in Texas Tech, though, they're gonna try to punch
they
you
can
in
score.
They will throat punch you every which way possible.
JT Toppin, you better get a freaking body on him. Dude. If the name sounds familiar,
Obi.
That's Obi's little brother. And the athleticism, the genetics, they're there. He can fly. Do not get, like, Arkansas is an athletic team. Without Adu Thiro, they're losing one of their big wing athletes who would be the guy that you're going to try to use to body JT Toppin and keep him off the glass and keep him from being disruptive in the open floor. That's probably going to be the swing. Can you keep Toppin from being disruptive?
Dude, and Grant McCaslin, coach at Texas Tech, he was a guy that rang the bell before the game, Oregon and
talk some STU.
Yeah, he did. I was just walking by. And he's fiery, dude. Really funny, but he is a fiery dude.
Texas Tech through and through.
Oh, yeah. He was playing the part of every bit of Texas Tech, and that's going to be, like, that's a part that I love about the tournament, and is that you get these fan bases that will they travel, and how far are they willing to travel?
Oh, Tech will go.
Texas Tech's going to be in San Francisco tonight.
Yeah.
And they're all, you probably see Patrick Mahomes with maybe Travis Kelce. Mm. I don't know T-Swift's schedule right now. Maybe not. But he'll be there pounding his Coors Lights with his, you know, A-hole Oakley's on, you know, a full-on wraparounds.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be there, and he'll be going through it, getting the crowd all hyped up. That to me, is the most fun, is when you see these kids. They're all spring breaking right now, and they're making the pilgrimage from probably Cabo all the way up to San Francisco, and they're going to be on one tonight.
It's going to be fun.
They throw tortillas at basketball games?
I mean, probably not, but I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't put it past him either. Nah. I wouldn't put it past him. Head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Watch out now.
Make sure they're not soaking wet. Coming up next, the Portland Trailblazers have a make-or-break game against the Sacramento Kings tonight. We'll dive into that next. But first, here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center Update. Then I look at you. It's make-or-break season. Right, Portland Trailblazers hit the road for a 5-game, 10-day trip.
Ugh.
10-day trip. This part of the season, man. Talked to a couple of players and a couple of the sport personnel and a couple of coaches. Not thrilled.
No. Well, that's why you need the NBA to expand up in Seattle, in Vegas.
And that's a big deal.
All of a sudden, you won't have to have these extended trips like this because you have a partner up here. Two teams out west. If Vegas and Seattle are the next two landing spots for expansion, that goes a long way in breaking up travel.
New Orleans, Memphis, or Minnesota will end up in the East.
Yep. And that helps tremendously.
Because if you don't have to go to New Orleans, Minnesota, or Memphis, in Minnesota, they play four times a year because they're in division.
Yeah. Not good. Not good, Bob.
That's a long flight, dude.
But at this point in the year, look, that gauntlet of a schedule, whatever gets you closer to the 8th, not in the West, for the lottery,
yes,
the happier I will be.
And this is basically going to make or break it, because as things stand right now, the Portland Trailblazers don't have any tiebreakers against the Phoenix Suns, the Dallas Mavericks, or the Sacramento Kings. If they beat the Kings and they find themselves in a three-way tie between them, Phoenix, and Sacramento, they will have the most combined wins against both teams. They would then have the tiebreaker.
Okay.
It is the only instance where that exists.
What happens if they do lose today, though?
The math basically drops it below 1%.
No, I'm talking about with if that happens, and they're looking at that too, and they understand that. Then we start seeing the wholesale shutdown that we've thought maybe coming?
I think you might see a player or two. And I think the other side of that is you might see two's been dealing with some calf stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been on the
injury. Wiesel out of a game.
He's been on the injury report. I could see two either maybe missing a couple games. I could see some minutes being cut. I think what you would see is you'd see a lot more Ryan Repair. I'd say Bryce McGowan's, but unfortunately Bryce McGowan's broke his rib.
Dude, yeah, that sucked. I got that email.
Yeah.
That's a brutal one.
Yeah, you hate seeing the PDFs. Because look, I mean, you want those guys to be able to play. Like, this is an opportunity. Like, if they did pivot to go down that path, this would be where Bryce would get some minutes.
Yeah.
It sucks because that's not there. Look, the simple thing is like, hey, Donovan Clingan finds himself in foul trouble. You go, you know, we're getting some very heavy Jabari Walker at the 5 minutes.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah. I think that's the path that you go down. Instead of Denny playing 36, 37, he's closer to 28.
Because as of right now, wear and tear, where the body's at, where your season's at, mm-hmm. if they're truly not going to be gunning for the play-in, which I don't think they should be doing anyways, mm-hmm. then at that point you just go avoid catastrophe because move the sights to next year.
The one guy, I mentioned two, don't be surprised if you don't or if you start hearing a bit of momentum and push for Tumani Kamara for Defensive Player of the Year.
Hell yeah.
Now, I don't think he's going to win it, but you're going to probably see some national discussions about that award.
Because, oh, no, he should not win it, but I love the way he plays, and mm-hmm. the conversation league-wide has changed dramatically about who he is.
He's moved into the prestige zone, and so you might not see him shut down, and you may not see the team holistically do it because then it kind of drops his profile a little bit.
Okay.
And it does hurt him. Because, look.
I mean, he's not going to win Defensive Player of the
Year. No, but there's a decent chance of him being a first-team all-defense member.
Yeah. Do you think the final 9 games of the season will dictate that? Because I don't think they will.
No, but if he doesn't play, does factor into that.
Sure.
Because what people outside of the market are going to do is look at box scores,
mm-hmm.
look at games played, and like, oh, he didn't play, and oh, the Blazers defense, oh, you know, those things are all going to kind of...
Well, start giving up 150 a game without him on the floor and be like, look.
Look at the on-off splits. That's thinking outside the box.
See, I got it. I can do that.
I like that.
Just whatever. Replace him with Justin Manaya. It doesn't fit. But, hey, you know what? The defense would go down dramatically from two to him.
Yes.
Positionally, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. just as a solid defender. But look, we talked about it earlier in the show. The growth that two has shown as a defender has been incredible. Like,
it has been.
It's not going to surprise me to see him on the short list for the all-defensive team over the next 4 or 5 years, which is kind of crazy to think about.
And then I hope there is a team around him that is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's a relevant roster around him, that does nothing but amplify who he can be.
And no better example than Draymond Green this season, who went from not being there to all of a sudden Jimmy being there. And hey, guess who the favorite is for Defensive Player of the Year in the betting markets right now?
Draymond Green.
I don't buy that.
Well, injuries have gone a long way.
Well, yeah. I mean, taking Victor Wembanyama out of that and the Cavs hitting a bit of a skid. You know, during that 4-game losing streak, they were the 28th ranked defense.
Really?
Yeah. They had the one seed sewed up.
Exactly. This is why people shouldn't care.
Look, but again,
yeah,
narratives.
Yeah,
narratives carry the day. All right, I got a question for you.
All right.
As we wrap things up, which game
mm-hmm.
in the Sweet 16 tonight, are you most confident in being the craziest? Think about that. When we come back, we'll dive into that and wrap up today's show. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. There's no player in college basketball I'm more interested in watching than Cooper Flagg. I've been singing his praises since I first saw him at Hoop Summit last year.
Yes.
But that's not the question. Mm. It's not who you want to watch most. Which game has the potential to be the most chaotic?
Tonight?
Tonight.
Tonight? I think it's... I honestly do believe it's the game at the end just because of the styles that they'll play in Arkansas-Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could see straight carnage at the end. And it isn't going to be pretty. I think with exciting games, I think BYU-Alabama has every bit to be the most exciting game. But if you want to talk about your classic haymakers thrown at an end of, at the end of a game, I think it's Arkansas-Texas Tech because both teams are very good defensively and getting nasty in the right spots, right? Mm-hmm. But they both have guards that can fill it up. And you know exactly who is getting the ball at the end of the game. Like the Duke and Arizona games, it could be one of three guys, right? Yeah. That could kind of take over. In BYU and Alabama, you know who's Richie Saunders, the Tater Tot Prince, is going to be the guy who's getting the ball at the end of the game for BYU, right?
Shooter.
Shooter. Maryland, Florida, I just think Florida is just going to stomp them. With all the smoke around this Maryland team right now, I don't know. For me, it's Arkansas and Texas Tech.
See, for me, it's Maryland, Florida.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Because of the reason you just mentioned. How does Maryland respond to all the stuff around them?
Dude. Historically, it's not great.
No,
but
it's not. But
it has the potential.
There's some FU in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's some real, like, okay, you're not going to be here? Screw you.
Arizona could be that to Duke, too, with like, oh, you guys think you're the best one? You think just because we struggled at the end of the game against Oregon and we struggled out of the gate? Oh, okay. All right.
Look, there are good predictors in college basketball, particularly in the NCAA tournament, when you're talking about the games that teams have played before. But there's also the name of the game in college basketball is volatility.
Yeah.
And when you've got a team like Maryland, you know, they've had some moments where they've and just coughed up that furball. Michigan, hello. Mm-hmm. Not picking up a guy coming off a DHO 75 feet away from the rim and getting all the way down court to hit a game winner. That's also the kind of moment that can galvanize you.
Yeah.
Especially when you follow it up with a game winner from Derek Queen. And Derek Queen has been a dude. In the NCAA tournament, it's about dudes. And if you're looking at a potential for something to get crazy, as good as Florida is, they've stepped on a couple landmines this season, and they are not immune to it. Now, you could say the same thing about Duke in the first 3 weeks of the season. Other than that, they had the one, what the hell was that game against Clemson, which I still can't explain away.
Clemson does that to Duke.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It's weird. It's
a weird thing. Again, you know, Duke's 33-3 on the season. They had two losses in the first 3 weeks, and then they just a furball against Clemson.
I think the what-the-hell moment against UConn, that could be the wake-up call, too.
For Florida.
Yeah.
Because they played with fire, and yeah, there were some calls and non-calls. I mean, look, Hurley lost his mind, and he's apologized for losing his mind, but doesn't...
I don't believe
doesn't
it.
Regret how he acted, because that's who Coach Hurley is.
You got no regrets.
No, 100%. And look, I talked to Donovan Klingon about that, about Hurley the other night, and he's like, I'd do anything for Hurley.
Yeah.
That's what's really cool about the matchups you have here tonight, with the exception of Maryland. A lot of these players, these guys would jump out in front of a moving train for their coaches.
But we haven't heard boo from the Maryland players about what's going on with Kevin Willard, their coach, who, according to internet conspiracy theories, has already accepted the Villanova job, though there's been no like solid, concrete, incredible reporting. They're all like, he's taking the Villanova job. Screw this guy. And he hasn't handled it the best.
No.
Publicly and front-facing. But, you know, we don't know how the players feel and how the Crab Five feel, which is
great nickname.
Best nickname of any team in the tourney right now.
Look, it's borrowed. off the Fab Five?
Don't care.
But Crab Five is pretty...
It's pretty solid.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. And they're going to have to, like, go over and redub over Crab Cakes and Football. It's Crab Cakes and Basketball and Wedding Crashers. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a thing. Maybe Wedding Crashers 2, which will be an awful movie if they ever make it. Maybe that's the thing. Is they play pickup basketball and they do Crab Cakes and Basketball.
What's going to be a worse sequel? Wedding Crashers 2 or Happy Gilmore 2?
Oh, Wedding Crashers 2. Because...
They're not getting Vince Vaughn and... Wilson.
Owen?
It is Owen Wilson. Yeah. It wasn't Luke.
Luke's the other one. Yeah.
They're not getting Bradley Cooper to be the jerk.
It'd be great if they did.
Ex-fiance.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of him.
I will watch Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's 100% going to be a watch.
Yeah.
I
just wonder when they do Chubbs Up in the Sky, if Bob Barker's up there too, because they're both dead.
That's the thing is like,
you know,
I really hope they bring Drew Carey in.
Beats up Drew Carey?
Yeah.
Drew Carey beats him up.
Yeah, big beard and all.
That'd be awesome. Like, he's just got a big
issue
with
the Cleveland
Price
Open.
Right.
Oh, no. Instead of doing the Price is Wrong, he just drops the Cleveland Rocks. Cleveland that Rocks,
should,
happy.
That should, that, I don't think that's what he said.
No, I know.
Price is Wrong.
Yeah, look.
Hell yeah.
Be a fun little one. But no, basketball is going to get going here in about an hour and 15 minutes,
Let's
BYU,
go.
Alabama, and then it's going to be 30 minutes until Maryland, Florida, and then a two-hour break, Arizona, Duke, and then a 7:09 tip-off to close the night with Arkansas, Texas.
Let's go.
I think we're going to progress through. I think your answer is the one that's going to be the most chaotic.
I like where your head's at, though.
Maryland, Florida's got some, like, it's a bit of a powder keg.
And look, if that game is even close at the end,
mm-hmm.
that's where you go, oh.
Because Florida UConn got a little dicey. Oh. Florida got a little rattled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I love the way that Willard went into the huddle for Maryland and said, who wants the shot?
Yeah.
Derek Queen said me.
Me. Hands up. What will be really funny, though, is if Florida mops the floor with Maryland and Walter Clayton has a huge game after Willard went with the, I'm just trying to figure out how to stop Walter Clayton.
Couldn't stop him because I was too worried about coaching Villanova.
Go Cats.
Ooh.
I'm out. All right. That does it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow, a Friday edition of Danny and Dusty. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. From their mouths to yours, it's prime time with Isaac. Will, are you just living here now?
Yeah, I'm here a lot.
Mm. All right.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, you sound like a beat-down little puppy over there.
I got a ways to go. I got dinner here, though.
All right.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. Have a great Thursday, everybody. See you Friday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.